Serious Talk and KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate you all for tuning into the show. Today is Sunday, March 26, 2017. I'm Scott Lohman. Joining me in the studio today is Hertzy Hertz. Be sure to stay tuned for the American Atheist Viewpoint in the fourth segment of the hour. We welcome listener interaction during our live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 or emails to radio@mnatheist.org. Both atheists and nerds have a variety of gatherings throughout the year. Today, Hertzy and I are going to review and list a number of both types of gatherings, and there's a nice variety of conferences and conventions you can go to. We'll be sure to find one that you'll enjoy attending and you can check out. You can find links and program archives on the Minnesota Atheist website. Welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Scott. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
So. Awesome. So are you ready to get into this interesting mix of atheism and nerdom?
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. So where do you want to start this morning?
Well, let's just sort of talk about, you know, what sort of variety there is out there. Like for the nerd types, there are the fan conventions as well as some professional ones that come to town. And Minneapolis Twin Cities area has quite a wide variety, from small sort of serious ones to big ones with less to costumes and parties.
And yep, and you even talked about the professional versus kind of a homegrown type. And for those who are listening, so there's kind of a there are major differences mm-hmm. between the two. A fan-run convention, which is kind of the homegrown grassroots style of convention, oftentimes they don't have, you know, 20 big names or anything. They'll mm-hmm. try and get like two or three. But there's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of camaraderie,
yep.
You know, there's a lot of, you make a lot of friends on those. Whereas the professional run conventions, like industry conventions, that's where you're going to find, you know, 20 big names and lots of professional, and they're also ones you're probably going to be spending more money on.
Yeah, like the Comic-Con in San Diego would be the prime example of a professionally run convention, because that's well beyond the fans at this point, even though I think it started out that way.
Yeah, I think it started, I want to say it started like just as a, like a, almost like a indie industry run, you know, it was a place for the comic book people to connect with fans and stuff, and, you know, eventually sci-fi took over, and now mm-hmm. they have all the movies and Avengers and stuff.
Yeah, the big media showed up, and they use it to promote things.
Well,
so, yeah. Okay, well, we can get started by just looking. We're going to look at both at the local science fiction conventions that are around here, as well as mention the national conventions for the big free thought organizations, the American Humanist Association, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and American Atheists all have annual conventions and gatherings on that. So locally here in the Twin Cities, there's about just under a dozen or so that happen, including some ones that are sort of twice a year. The local Midwest Comic Book Association has a spring version and a fall version. Their spring version is their bigger one, and that's a two-day affair. And they're all members of the local comic book. Basically, people who work in that industry will have tables and will be selling their wares and talking to people, as well as you can find back issues for as far back as you want to go.
Oh yeah, I've been to that a couple of times, and that was a lot of fun. I believe it's at the State Fair.
Yep, they hold it at the State Fair spring. It's usually April-ish and May. You can find it at the MCBA, the Midwest Comic Book Association, is their website on that, and they will have the dates on that one, and they generally have both some national people as well as just well-recognized local people who work hard in that industry. It's a very fun, and they're very fan and fanatic friendly on that part. So it makes that just a nice convention. It's a great place to find some of those things that you don't find always at other ones.
Yeah, another good example of one, and actually this one's going to be coming up in April, is Anime Detour. And that one is very specific for anime fans. I've heard lots of good things about it. I have not gone myself yet.
Yep, my son goes to that one, and he has a great time. And the fun thing about that one is he was reading in the convention booklet about things, and it's there was this thing that says, do not use the hotel towels to wash the dye out of your hair. And he understood what that reference was, which was just a hoot. It's like, and I mentioned, so yeah, they don't like the electric blue hair dye getting into their white towels.
And that's actually been an interesting thing, because I've been going to Convergence for several years. My first one was 2001. And it's interesting because it's in the same hotel as that. And it's kind of fun to watch how the hotels handle conventions over time. Because at the very beginning, that wasn't even a question. It wasn't brought up. But hotels in general seem to be moving in that way.
Yeah, Anime Detour is a big one. They also do some very good charity donations on that. Their auctions are actually then donated, and they donate a serious amount of money on that.
Nice.
On that, and they're fun because you can get up close with the people who do the voice work for the American productions of anime, as well as have some of the creators will come in from Japan. On that, so it's really got a nice variety of things, and they're like Convergence. They take over that hotel and another one, as far as like they're fully booked into that hotel, which is the DoubleTree South, located at 494.
Yep,
that one has been hosting science fiction and nerd conventions for a very, very long time. In fact, longer than some of these younger fans have been around.
Oh yeah.
So it's a venerable institution on that, and we've survived dealing with multiple changes in management as far as our conventions go on that.
But, oh, yeah. So, I think the colloquial term now is the radish tree.
Yes, because it was a Radisson, and it was a Sheraton, and now it's a Double Tree.
Yes. No, well, we've mentioned Convergence a couple times, so yes. We should talk about that
one. We can jump to that one. That's the big one. There was just one big science fiction convention many years ago. There was Minicon, and that one was always held on Easter weekend. So it's always the same weekend, but it always moves around. So that's where you can find that one this year. It's in mid-April. And it used to be both a big media and science fiction convention. Well, there became a split going on between the sort of the media side and the old book nerds, and they ended up splitting off. And so then the media ones went and then formed Convergence, and that got moved to basically 4th of July weekend, or as close as they can hit that. And they're coming up into double digits, so they've gone into that, which is good for a fan-run convention that you can make it to that. They have hit their peak attendance at about 6,000 to 7,000, which makes for a lot of people in one hotel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, and now I think they're that hotel, the hotel next door, and I think the Crown Plaza down the street, which is absolutely, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people at that one. So that one is what I call the big party costume convention, because you will see people with, you know, costume change for each of the 4 days of the convention.
Sometimes more.
And then they have a serious masquerade that happens on the Saturday night of the convention. So that's fun. They went to 4 days, so they go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On that, but it is also a purely fan-run convention, and that's quite amazing for that size of a convention to still be doing that these days, because that's about sometimes to the point where it crosses over between having the fans do it and some professionals take over. But they've managed to survive a number of things as they've gone through the years on that convention, and that'll be coming up at this point. You're past where you can get the good rates for Convergence, so generally you want to sign up prior to basically the end of the year if you want the good sign-up rates. But
And Convergence actually kind of is a cool place, because it's one of the places where atheism and science have actually mixed a lot with in their convention, because they've had skeptics there for a number of years. I've heard that they are not going to be doing a party room this year, which makes me very sad because they were one of my favorites. But they've done multiple panels there. P.Z. Myers has made appearances there almost yearly. And I think there's some other scientists that have been, like, I think they got the Cybe on once.
Yeah, they have a serious science track that they get when they're helping with that. So there are some good, good serious thinking skeptical panels on that, and that you know helps a lot with getting the serious one. And they're very well attended. They go to standing room only, and those are in the serious side conference rooms at that particular hotel, because they've got smaller ones that'll seat about 35, and the bigger ones seat close to 200.
Yeah, actually, I think now, granted, this was a funny way of looking at science one, but it was very well attended, was the worst pseudoscience of the year. That was hilarious. Each of the skeptics got to pick a pseudoscience, and then they described it, and then they described why it needed to be the worst pseudoscience of the year.
Mm-hmm. They also will do scientific critiques of the science fiction movies on taking a look at their physics and their other things. And
oh, so, that sounds fun.
Oh, yeah, that can be quite the hoot on that part of it. And then they even get to the more sort of fun adult-styled panels where we talk about more adult subjects, and they do those late at night on that, because it is a convention where you've got adults, and it's a party convention. So you get to talk to about the adult subjects. So that makes for fun. We're getting close to the break, but so that one comes up. Minicon is coming up in April, and they usually get a good science fiction writer guest on that. And I think, do you have that up, Hertzy, as far as who the guest is going to be this year? And then we can let you know who's going to be at Convergence, for those of you who are interested. They usually get...
Looks like the guest of honor is going to be Brother Guy Consul Magno. It's a science. And then Mark Oshiro will be the fan guest of honor this year, and Jeff Lee Johnson will be the featured artist.
Yep, they get to meet artists. It was last year or the year before we got to see Michael Whalen, which was simply awesome. That man has put book covers, has had book covers on bestsellers that end up on the New York Times bestseller list, and he was so wonderful and approachable, and he's been doing this for his career is 30 plus years on that. So we've got more fun convention talk to talk about, so stick with us through the break. You're listening to AC's Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman, joined by Hertzy Hertz today. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205 or send an email to radio@mnatheist.org. So we're talking about some of the local conventions that people can go to that are science fiction that have a nice skeptical side. And Convergence is coming up. That's the big party con, and that's July 6th through the 9th this year of 2017. And their guests included local Hugo Award-winning writer, yes, Fritzy?
Oh, actually, I was just going to say, I have a quick announcement for our donors of the week. Mm-hmm. Our donors of the week are Nancy and August. So thank you, Nancy and August, for helping us stay afloat. And thank you to all of our donors.
Yes, thank you very much. And so local Hugo Award-winning writer Lois McMaster-Bujold will be one of their guests. Christopher Carter, Norman Cates, Eric Chu, who is writing some new science fiction. Naomi Kritzer, who is a local writer who won the Oscar equivalent in science fiction, a Hugo, for her short story Cat Pictures, Please, last year. Shannon McGuire. So they get a nice mix of both media and author guests. And so on that, at this point, though, you're looking at through the door, so half price registration goes through January 15th, so that's a little late on that part, but anyway, that's Convergence coming up,
but that's so you know next year
on that part. So then moving on along, another one that happens in the summer is one that's near and dear to my heart, and I have to, put out a warning. I'm the chair of this particular convention, so it's called Diversicon, and we're the in the end of July, and our guests this year are Melissa Scott and local writer Eleanor Arneson. And we are a very small, well, not all that big, very literate science fiction convention, and our dates are July 21 through the 23rd. We're at the Best Western Bandana Square, and so we're a smallish convention, but we have good serious panels. So if you like talking about speculative and science fiction as a literature, we have a What to Read Next panel. We have ones on looking at the science fiction movies throughout the year. We look at the science fiction television throughout the year. We have a couple of panels on what's going on with human space travel, and another one looking at what's going on in the solar system. So we have a nice variety of that. We also take a look at adult fiction as well as the new science fiction coming out. And we do something unique at DiversaCon that other conventions don't do, is we have posthumous guests. So we bring dead people in. As I like to say, they're cheap and easy. They don't worry about their scheduling. They're not fussy about their room. Don't have to worry about special treatment on that part. And this year we're bringing in John F. Kennedy. And we have Robert Block. And so we're going to talk about Kennedy's contribution to our space program and the inspiration related to that. And Robert Block is well known for writing a wide variety of sort of horror serious stuff. He wrote for both The Twilight Zone and for the original Star Trek. And so he's got had a long, diverse career on that. And so it's great because what bringing in guests like that gives us is new themes to work with and how we want to talk about and taking a look and also introducing some people to writers that they may not have run into. So we do that.
Yeah, I think I've seen posthumous, thank you, guests before specifically at a MarsCon I went to. It was a doctor-themed, and one of them was the actor who played Bones on Star Trek, mm-hmm. and then there were a couple of other ones that it was kind of cool to see who they were looking at.
Yeah, on that part. And then another one that's not local but is always important to let people know about is Worldcon. And that is the big science fiction convention where the Hugos, which are the fan awards, are announced. And that one is now moves to different places. Originally it was in the U.S. and then out of the country. And some years then it moves this year in 2017. They are going to be in San Jose, California. And that is coming up is to be in generally around, and I'm waiting for the thing to move here, so I should have had the date down, but it is going to be August 16th through the 20th, and that's in San Jose. And if you become a certain level of attendee where you pay up to a certain point, you have a voting right on the Hugos, in which case you can do that. So you get to help decide what wins those awards. That's the advantage to the World Science Fiction Convention. The exciting thing in 2018 is it's going to be in Helsinki, Finland, which is very cool. So that's going out of the U.S. for first time in a while. There's been some challenges with finding people outside of the U.S. to help host and run those conventions, because it is challenging, because this is where you get all of the big names in science fiction will show up on that. So you get your George R. R. Martins, and you get that's when the big ones would show up, because those are they're not always going to the smaller conventions anymore on that. And so that's the exciting thing about that, and that's also four-day affair on that. So that's one to for a lot of people to put on. I know people who have gone to a dozen straight of World Cons, and they just love doing those. So that's another big one, and that then is now late August this year, sometimes up to Labor Day. But that's held all over the country. And the fun thing we have locally is that at Minicon, at one point, they decided to do a bid for a Worldcon, but they never got it. But they liked each other so much, so there's always the running thing about Minneapolis in 73. So, because we have some long-term cons. Minicon is turned 50. They made it to 50, which is an impressive thing to get to.
You know, I think I actually went to that one, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
That I've gone to for, and I'm not going to say how many years straight, because it's going to make me feel really old on that. But let's just say it is longer than some people have been on the planet. But we'll just leave it at that. So, but that's, you know, they're good serious science fiction conventions on that part. So. Those are the ones I want to mention as far as locally. And then there's one coming up that comes back early in February, which is called MarsCon. And that's a smaller, both mixed of science fiction and media convention. And they have both a masquerade in that. And that's another full weekend fan-run convention. And that one is usually mid-February to early March.
Yep, and I've been to that one for many years. And I've always found it to be a nice, it's like a party convention, but it's just a little bit smaller, so it's a little more intimate in some ways because you're just hanging out with friends that you see once a year.
Yeah, at those conventions.
Yep. I'm just going to plug one more for Doctor Who fans specifically.
Okay.
Console Room is on May 12th through the 14th this year, and that I've heard multiple good things about. Let me click this link real quick because I'm sure they've got an awesome guest. They usually do. They have Annika Willis, who played Polly Wright, which was a companion to the first and second Doctor. And they've got Wendy Padbury, who played companion Zoe Harriet alongside the second Doctor, and Jamie from 1968 to 1969. So that is pretty awesome.
And the other one I will bring up, and we're just coming up on the break here, is Manticon, which based on the works of David Weber. And actually, he's going to be there this year, and that is coming up basically a Memorial Day weekend, the 26th through the 28th.
Oh, I bet the Manticores are super excited.
They are, and it's both sort of a military science fiction convention, and you can have a lot of fun at that. So, as you can hear the music, we're coming up on our next break, so we want you to please stay with us through the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman. Throughout the year, you know, various nerds and atheists like to get together for gatherings. Some gatherings have serious panels and serious discussions, and other panels have people dressed in costumes. Atheists and nerds enjoy both types. So welcome back. If you have a question or a comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email at radio@mfatheist.org. I'm Scott Lohman. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you'd like to advertise in this program, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This program is put together by a dedicated group of volunteers and generous donations from our listeners. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. You can find more information on the Humanists of Minnesota at humanistsofmn.org. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. This week, we want to thank Nancy and August for their donations. Check the schedule for book clubs, discussion groups, pub crawls, movie nights, and other gatherings throughout the year, as well as sign up for meetups, listen to podcasts of previous programs, subscribe to Atheist Weekly email, and become a member, all at mnatheist.org. And now we're back to our final segment. Stay tuned. The next segment, when we're done, will be the American Atheist Viewpoint, so stay tuned for that. Okay.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about specifically the local conventions, and the kind of the more sci-fi. So why don't we move into the more atheist and humanist conventions?
Yes, and we'll talk about the one that's a little closer for me, which is the American Humanist Association. And they have an annual convention that moves around each year. This year, it is from June 8th through the 11th. It's going to be in Charleston, South Carolina. And their Humanist of the Year is Adam Savage, which is really exciting. For those of you who are into that sort of thing, he was one of the co-hosts of the recently departed Mythbusters series. He's been long active as for that sort of thing. He's worked as a model maker and special effects guy, which is why they were good for doing that, because they knew how to make things. He worked on some of the models for the Star Wars prequels. So he helped make buildings and spacecraft that they used in Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
One of the few redeeming parts of that.
Yep. And so also coming this year is Susie Bright, Martin Castro, Stacey N. Chin, Janetta Elzey, Annabella Gerwich, and Herb Silverman. So that's an impressive lineup for the AHA. Keynote speaker Annabella Gerwich is best known for lots of writing on politics and stuff on that. Herb Silverman works with the Secular Coalition and is well known for suing to become a notary public, because in his home state, you had to take a religious oath in order to become a notary public. And so he had a lawsuit that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, which then allowed atheists to become notary publics without having to do religious overtones on that.
I'm just shocked that you would have to take a religious oath to become a notary.
Yes, you had to have a religion in order to be a notary public. So
yes, to get that little rubber stamp.
Yep, and you can find out information about the American Humanist Conference at the AHA's website.
Awesome. I'm actually taking a look at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They are also doing a national convention September 15th to the 17th in Madison, Wisconsin. So that makes it a little easier to get to from here. Looks like they are going to have speakers such as Cara Santamaria and renowned sculptor Zenos Fridikis. Oh my goodness, why am I getting all the hard names?
Yeah.
And also 12-year-old activist Kelly Heltzen. So that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that, well, the neat thing when we, you know, when we're stumbling across names is the fact that our free thought people are, we're getting more diverse in that, which is a really cool thing. When I joined it, there was a lot of old white guys, and now we're seeing a diversity in both age, gender, and also now across other ethnic spectrums, which is very cool for us on that.
Oh yeah, and actually here's an interesting note about Cara Santamaria. She does the weekly podcast Talk Nerdy with me, so there we go with another crossover. Yeah. And also co-hosts the popular Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. So she'll receive FFRF's Free Thought Heroine Award. So that is cool.
Yeah, so that's another great convention. And that one's not that far away. I know a number of people that go to that one each year because they're headquartered out of Madison. So they have that.
And didn't they just get a building, too? So they must have I wonder if they're able to do it there.
No, well, they generally have had a hotel because they have need more space than what's in their building. So,
oh yeah,
but that's very cool. They're a good long term organization that does some really neat things, including putting up billboards that will get vandalized, or putting up counter demonstration or demonstration things at state capitals that like to have nativity scenes on public grounds,
or other things on public grounds such as Belle Plaine, which. Yeah. May or may not be a show later.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So there's that type of thing that's going on in that. And then one of the last ones we should mention is the American Atheists. Also has an annual convention.
Yes. I'm looking at the speakers right now. They've got Annie Pearl Avery. Her roots are in civil rights movements and began as a member of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. They have Frank Conniff, who is a comedy writer and began his TV career writing for the Peabody and award-winning Comedy Central series, Mystery Science Theater 3000,
yep.
Where I know at least one of our volunteers is definitely excited that is coming back.
Yep, and he's local, so that show started here locally.
That's right.
Mystery Science Theater was produced here during their runs on both Comedy Central and the Sci-Fi Channel.
Score. Looks like they'll have Ian Harris, James Randi, Mandis Thompson, who I know has been a guest at the Secular Women's Conference 2 years ago, 1 year ago. She was a wonderful speaker. Matt Dillahunty, Seth Andrews. So two of the, I guess you could say, podcasting four horsemen. Yvette Dermont and Tracy Bellew. So that, another one from Mystery Science 3000. Oh, where is this? I want to go now.
That's going to be fun. So what's the dates in place for that one?
Getting there.
Okay. Yep, so we don't quite have a list. Hersey, we can put those on the show notes. You can maybe try for that on some where people can find listings for conventions. But locally, what was the website that you're looking at? Was it Minnesota Geek?
TwinCitiesGeek.org.
TwinCitiesGeek.org is going to have all the local convention information, plus they'll have some of the other national ones, at least Worldcon listed, and there would be links from their site to the major websites.
Yep. They also have an ongoing list of just things that are going on locally, which is just absolutely wonderful. It looks like it's also going to be in Charleston, South Carolina. I am not finding dates, though. That is really odd.
That is very odd that they would not have dates on that. So, because that's for, you usually want to have dates for those sort of things.
I know.
On that part of it. But as you can listen, we've highlighted a number of things, and you can tell there's a lot of crossover. Both Hertzy and myself have a deep nerd background. That was actually, we started in that because the science fiction community, science fiction fantasy, that community is very accepting. And you could find people within those communities who were non-believers or who didn't really care about that sort of thing, and just made it very easy for people to get involved on that part, and they didn't worry about that. So they were also early acceptance of LGBT community on that, was in the science fiction community. A number of people even found their activism out of that part, getting started on that. So it looks, let's see, they don't have a current, I don't know where they're hiding the dates.
I know.
What's coming up on that part. So just, you'll have to check out the American Atheists website for their convention dates. When you pull a convention, for some reason, the one that's coming up is 2015. And I'm not sure where they have an older date on that.
Eeps. Also, just a real quick, another atheist convention that I've heard on a couple of podcasts I listen to is ReasonCon. Looks like that is the weekend of the 21st in April in Hickory, North Carolina. I know that there's going to be several podcasts there, such as Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, and I think maybe Cognitive Dissonance, and then also Serious Inquiries Only.
Okay. And then Skepticon is one that happens. I don't know the dates on that one, but that's one that a lot of people will go to on that, and Hertzie will get the information on that. And that's down in, like, I think that's down in Missouri and Kansas City on that part.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also I've heard rumors that the Skeptics might be looking at starting something on their own. So that sounds like it will be fun.
Yes.
When it comes up. Let's see here. Springfield, Missouri. Looks like it will be held on November 10th through the 12th in 2017. And if you think Missouri is too long of a drive to go to, actually, my mom and I drove to St. Louis once for a convention, and it actually wasn't too bad if you space it out.
Yeah, it's almost comparable to driving to Chicago. It's somewhere around the same amount of hours or just a little more, so it's not that bad.
Yep.
You just have to go all the way through Iowa.
And the way you break that up is you go on, like, a road trip site, and then you just pick out, like, all these little roadside attraction things to go to. For example, the ballroom where Buddy Holly played is on the way.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
So we've given you quite a list of things to look at. There's a nice variety here in the Twin Cities where you don't even have to worry about traveling. And even though they're at hotels, if you're local, you're generally a 20-minute drive from your house. That's the nice thing about the Twin Cities, is that while we're getting cosmopolitan, we're still a little small in the area, which is really nice to allow you to attend those conventions and not worrying about having to book a hotel room on that part, because with, like, Convergence and Anime Detour, those rooms have been gone for 6 months. So.
Oh, yeah. I know I definitely have already got my room booked for Convergence.
Yeah, so that's great fun on that. But as you can see, there's just a nice variety of things. You can find one that'll meet your tastes. If you like the small and quiet discussion ones, there's those for your tastes on that. If you like the ones where people dress up in costumes, are on that. And if you like the ones where you can get close and talk with the creators of things, the local MCBA comic conventions are delightful in that, where you can meet the creators and you can buy pages. It's really cool. You can buy original artwork done by those. I own some really neat pages from a local artist who has done Star Trek pages that just are delightful.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's very awesome. And you can get original pieces of art, done that way, and talk with them about what they're working on and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Any other final thoughts, Hertzie?
Well, I was just going to say, I've always enjoyed the art shows at some of the conventions I've been to, and just looking at what people have done. But definitely check out the local conventions and the national ones, of course. But I'm a big fan of supporting the local conventions, just because you get to see people who are in the neighborhood who you may not have met before.
Yep, you get to know the local community on that part. And there are occasionally times where we have hosted our own conventions here in the Twin Cities. Both Minnesota Atheists and the Humanists of Minnesota have been involved in that. And those will come along periodically, because they're a lot of work for us. So
much work.
So I'd like to thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. I'm Scott Lohman, and was joined today by Hertzie Hertz. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. Join us again next Sunday. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mnatheist.org. The podcast for the show will be on the radio page later today. Stay tuned for the American Atheist Viewpoint. This has been Atheist Talk on KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, March 26, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week was the confirmation hearing, or at least the first part of the confirmation hearings, for Judge Neil Gorsuch, who was Donald Trump's nominee for Supreme Court. You know, and there weren't a ton of surprises there. There wasn't a whole lot that came out of that hearing that we didn't already know about Judge Gorsuch. And in fact, the news that just has broken this week is that the Democrats are saying that they're going to filibuster his nomination. And looking at the numbers, it seems like Gorsuch may have actually lost some of the votes or the potential votes because of the answers he gave at his confirmation hearing. So we're going to have to see how that plays out. American Atheists has come out in opposition to his nomination. And while we don't take a position on whether or not a filibuster is appropriate, we do believe that his judicial philosophy and his outlook, especially as they relate to religious freedom issues, is incompatible with where we would want a Supreme Court judge to be, and is far outside the mainstream on this issue, far outside what the American people want as it relates to using religious exemptions as a get-out-of-the-law-free card. We put out a statement criticizing some of his views previously, and we also sent a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee that was actually entered into the record formally by Senator Chris Coons, who is a Democrat from Delaware, who entered our record, entered our letter into the record. The letter was co-written by American Atheists as well as the National Coalition for Jewish Women, and was signed on by 17 other faith and atheist groups. So we appreciate everybody who signed in on that letter, as well as wanted to thank Senator Coons for his leadership in entering that letter to the record. Senator Coons also did something that we thought was really fantastic. He questioned the judge almost exclusively on these religious liberty issues. Now, Chris Coons is not himself an atheist. He is, in fact, a rather very devout Christian who studied theology in school, but has been a strong ally and has been someone we've come to rely on occasionally for these issues. And he asked Judge Gorsuch about his record on religious liberty issues as they relate to the Hobby Lobby case and the Little Sisters of the Poor. If you aren't familiar with these cases, the Hobby Lobby case is the case that required closely held corporations to receive the same exemption given to churches in the Affordable Care Act, where they are able to use their religion as a reason to deny coverage of certain types of contraception to their employees. Judge Gorsuch ruled or signed on to a ruling in favor of Hobby Lobby in this case, and that was upheld by the Supreme Court. And Senator Coons asked Judge Gorsuch about this and said something that I think is really profound and is a really important question as we look at these issues. He asked, Senator Coons asked the judge whether an employer who is a Christian Scientist and, you know, disavows all sort of modern medicine, or if they're a if they're a Jehovah's Witness and oppose the use of blood transfusions, or they're a Scientologist and don't want to use mental health care, if they could impose that on their employees. And the judge said something here that I think is really interesting, where he said that because the law had the exemption already in it for contraception, that there was already a workaround in place for contraception, that that opened the door to allow these closely held religious corporations to demand the same, regardless of the fact that you know, they're not churches, regardless of the fact or whether or not you believe corporations can have religious beliefs, because that was written in there, that opened the door. And this is an important part. This is a very important point, because this goes back to the core of lawmaking and goes back to the importance of drafting laws that make sense. When the Affordable Care Act was first coming out, and when we were kind of people were negotiating over the details and whatnot, and when the rulemaking was happening after it passed within the Health and Human Services agencies, we came out and said you should minimize these exemptions. You shouldn't have all these exemptions. That if it's important for women to have access to contraception as part of preventative health care, then everyone should have access to it, regardless of whether or not they happen to work for a church, or they work for a religious hospital, or they work for a religious school. It shouldn't matter. If it's important for women to have access to these things, if it's important for people to have access to blood transfusions, if it's important for people to have access to medicine in general, we shouldn't be carving out all these special exemptions and treatments for religious groups, because you're picking a winner, winners and losers. You're picking which religious exemptions are legitimate. You're saying having a religious exemption to birth control is totally fine and is something that we'll carve out, but having a religious exemption to blood transfusions isn't appropriate and isn't something we're going to carve an exemption out for. Sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses. You're picking sides on that. And, you know, the fact is that most women, regardless of whether or not they're religious, use birth control. So it doesn't really – all you're doing is placating and playing to the leaders of these churches, most of whom are, you know, celibate men who have no vested interest in this at all. You're just playing to them. You're only appealing to them with these exemptions. So that's important. And this is – regardless of who's sitting on the Supreme Court – one of the things that we need to do is be more outspoken and be stronger in advocacy when we're coming up with legislation that we shouldn't be inserting these exemptions in the first place, because it then opens up Pandora's box and allows expansions of these rulings or novel readings of who is a person or, you know, nonsensical rulings on who is a person or who qualifies for these exemptions. You can put in the law that RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, doesn't apply to certain laws. You can put in there, no exemptions, and then you're not opening up the door to them. This is why it's so important that we, as atheists are getting involved in every single step of legislation and lawmaking, because it's these exemptions that are put in there at the last minute or put in there without being thought through. These are the things that end up costing thousands of people access to healthcare. And that's what this is about. This isn't about whether or not the government is forcing anyone to use any type of contraception. If you have a religious exemption to contraception, just like if you have a religious exemption to blood transfusions or mental health care or all medicine, no one is forcing you to use them. We're just saying, the government is saying that if you choose to enter into the realm of providing health insurance as a business, then you have to meet these minimum standards, and you gotta pay for those things. Now, we can have the debate about whether or not the government should be mandating those things, but when the mandate happens, we shouldn't then be saying, "Oh, but you get an exemption for this reason and that reason and this other reason." Especially if you're religious, we're not even going to question whether or not your belief is sincerely held. One thing that was interesting, Judge Gorsuch said that the government or the courts have to decide whether or not the belief is sincere, and brought up a church that selling marijuana, basically, and said that it wasn't legitimate. I don't know that we want the government making the decision about what is a legitimate and sincerely held belief, and that's why those exemptions are so problematic, because it's hard to do that. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me. Visit our website, www.atheist.org, for more about our work. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.